KNKD Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Really appreciate Carlos Griego and his business, Bosque Plumbing and Heating. Now, one of my favorite topics to visit about on ABQ Connect is food and our friend Jennifer Bryant. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi, Jim. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today.
We didn't get to visit very long before the show, but I wanted to ask you, you guys just got moved. You got a new office set up and everything's good?
Yes, everything's great. I keep joking with, you know, every client that I see, I have a different background behind me and they're like, what happened? And I said, well, you know, I moved in the middle of a pandemic.
Well, it's neat that you got moved. It is hard to move though, isn't it? It just seems like it goes on and on and on.
Yes, I forgot. I mean, we had lived in our other house for 13 years. And so I really had kind of forgotten how much work it is to move. It was a lot of work. Thankfully, we had a couple of good friends that helped us. But we're getting settled and things are good. So thanks for asking.
Well, for our listeners that are not real familiar with Jennifer Bryant, she owns Nourish Nutrition Counseling in Albuquerque. And we'll give out her website a couple of times, nourishnutritioncounseling.com. She's a registered dietitian, nutritionist. She's also a certified diabetes educator. And that's going to play a little bit into our discussion today. Today we're going to talk about sugar, one of my favorite nutrients. Of course, my second favorite nutrient is potato chips. So Jennifer's going to slap me once she comes back in the studio here. But, those are two things that I eat too much of and shouldn't. And then we're also going to talk about gut health. So Jennifer, let's, spend the first segment here talking about sugar, refined sugar and its effect on our bodies.
Yeah. So first of all, I just want to just tell people that if they're feeling like they're eating too much sugar or they have potentially an addiction to sugar, that's actually kind of a real thing. So the way that sugar acts in our brain, it does produce some addictive properties. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that you're stuck or that you're going to be addicted to sugar forever. But I think sometimes it's helpful just to acknowledge that that is a real thing. So if people are listening today and they're like, oh yeah, that's me. I feel like I just crave sugar. I want sugar all the time. What's wrong with me? There's actually quite a lot of things that we can do to tame some of those cravings and get our bodies back to, you know, quote unquote normal, where we're eating mostly healthy foods. But what I'll say about that is if that perked anybody's interest, I'm doing a class coming up on Tuesday, September 1st, and it is called All About Sugar. And so we'll talk a little bit about it today, but if somebody's listening and they're more interested in learning more, there's a couple ways to get a hold of me. They can email Jennifer@nourishednutritioncounseling.com. Or they can go to my website, nourishednutritioncounseling.com, and click on the contact button. And you can send me a message from that and just say that you're interested in the class. It's $10, so it's really inexpensive. There's going to be a lot of great information. I just finished the curriculum today. So we'll give you a taste this morning, but then if that's something that you want to dive into a little bit more, we'll do that a little bit more on Tuesday. So you asked me, Jim, why is sugar bad? That was your question, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and I got to tell you, when you enter in, if you enter in white sugar or refined sugar, like on Google, you will get 3/4 of the articles that pop up are saying that it's like death to use white sugar.
Yes. Well, and I would say any form of excess sugar would be included in that category. So I think sometimes we try to justify, you know, well, honey is natural or pure maple syrup is natural. And so we try to make all of these excuses that, you know, because it's a natural sugar, it's okay. And again, though, anything in excess is going to have negative health effects. So, you know, probably one of the most common ones that I see is excess inflammation. And so when people are eating extra sugar, we know that the body's cells really just don't do well with that. We have increased inflammation, which leads to all sorts of other health issues like insulin resistance, which can eventually lead to diabetes. We've got higher risk of heart disease, cancer, even mood disorders like depression and anxiety. We're finding that especially with kids and teens, if they're having excess sugar, that they're really struggling with some of these mental health conditions. And so I think it's actually more than even just, I think we think sugar and diabetes go hand in hand, but it's really so much more than that. There are so many other things that negative health effects that having excess sugar can cause.
Jennifer, I'm sure we have both mothers and fathers listening to the show today because of, you know, stay-at-home orders and the way, you know, we're in these hybrid education kinds of situations. And you have small children as well, or young children, I guess I should say. Nobody likes to be called small. But your young children, you're not having them have Count Chocula for lunch, are you, when they're at home? Because a lot of people don't realize that cereal, just because it's called cereal, sometimes they think that's healthy. But most of the cereals you look at, if you look at the sugar content, they're like eating, you know, spoonfuls of sugar.
Yep. Yeah. And actually, cereal is one of those places that I think only in America do we have aisles and aisles of choices of cereal where, you know, one of the first two ingredients is sugar. So this is, I mean, it's definitely a problem. From an early age, we start eating sugar first thing in the morning, you know, and it's just not healthy. And really, this is one of the keys to curbing some of those cravings and that feeling of addiction to sugar is, first thing in the morning, what are you putting into your body? So that breakfast is actually really, really important. And what you're feeding your body for breakfast is really important. So, you know, wanting to have more of a focus on the protein, maybe healthy fats, maybe the whole grains, those are all really good substitutions. And so, yeah, the cereals are a huge source of extra sugar. You know, one of the great things about our new food label is it actually tells us now on the label, it says instead of just sugars, it says it has regular sugar and then it has added sugars. And so you will see the added sugars as a part of that new food label, which is really great because then you can see what sugars are occurring naturally in the food and then which ones they've actually added to that food product.
Yeah, I can't imagine you having to add sugar to certain sweet things. Let me ask, and this is off script for us a little bit in the questions that we put together for today, Jennifer, but what about sugar substitutes? Are they that much better for you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So yes and no. That's always my answer. I never have a straight answer. It depends a lot on the person, first of all, but there's some research that these artificial sweeteners and also the sugar alcohols, they are different categories, but they seem to have similar effects on the body, where they do give us less sugar, they give us less calories, they affect blood sugar less. So, you know, sometimes I think it's appropriate to recommend them, especially for somebody who has diabetes. But what happens when you eat a lot of them is they start also having some negative effects on our bodies. So for example, they will, alter our gut bacteria, which we know is a big deal. We know that that gut bacteria has lots of other effects on our overall health. They tend to change our desire for sweets. So we tend to want them more than we should. They also tend to alter our appetite. So when we should be feeling full, we aren't feeling full. And when we shouldn't be hungry, we feel hungry. So there's a lot of, you know, there's really a lot of negative effects with those sugar alcohols and the artificial sweeteners as well.
Jennifer, how much sugar do Americans consume?
That's a great question. I just looked this up because of my class coming up. So this is a really good illustration because, you know, a lot of times we say, well, are we really eating too much? Yes, we still are, even though the recommendation has been, you know, put out there. There's been a lot of education that the government has really tried to, you know, teach us, and not just the government, but all sorts of other health organizations and all of this. So, and what's happening is we're still eating about 22 teaspoons of added sugars a day. So that's about 88 grams of sugar a day. So that is a lot. And really the recommendation, it varies a little bit for women versus men, but for women, we're really supposed to be having about 6 teaspoons a day, and for men, 9. So wow. We're really getting more than twice what we should be.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of sugar. Jennifer, you are a Christian and you're a businesswoman and you're a nutritionist. How does faith play into, I guess I want to ask, if you're a person of faith and you eat too much or you have too much sugar or you're a chipaholic, like I've confessed to being on many occasions on the show, and I'm doing a little bit better. Today I had some blue corn chips with some very nice chicken salad from Sprouts. It seemed like it was pretty healthy and I didn't eat too many. But yeah. I guess I'm asking, how does a person of faith, you know, I guess number one, they need to perceive themselves the way God wants them to perceive themselves, and they need to treat their bodies and the temple that God has given them in an appropriate way. So how does faith direct your coaching in terms of healthy eating?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think a lot of times we tend to separate our lives, or we compartmentalize is really a good word for it. And so we sort of think that what we are eating really has nothing to do with our faith. And so I really think that that's really wrong thinking, actually. I think that our faith should really influence every aspect of our lives. And that includes how we feed our bodies and how we eat. And so, you know, that means something different for everybody. But I think a lot of it, you know, basically, we get our motivation from our faith, right? So as a Christian, I want to treat my body well so that I can honor the Lord and honor his plans for me and honor my clients. I know that when I am eating well, I can think better. I can problem solve better. I can really do my job a lot better. And so, and I think everybody would say that if they think about it, you know, when you're eating well, you can do everything in life a little bit better. You feel better. You have more energy, right? And so I think that our food really does impact every aspect of our life. And I think that our faith needs to play a role in that. I think sometimes we forget that they really go hand in hand.
Jennifer has a newsletter, which we're going to talk about on our next segment, and a lot of other neat resources, including some delicious recipes on her website, nourishnutritioncounseling.com. If you're listening and you have a question this afternoon for Jennifer about a myriad of topics, even how to eat as a diabetic and so forth, please give us a call at 505-338-5790. Jennifer Bryan will be back with us in the next segment. Stay with us.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
I needed to sell my father's house that he had lived in for 65 years. When I was working on the house, Dom stopped by and looked at it. He had the resources and people to help me get the house presentable for a sale. Dom Garcia is a very positive, enthusiastic person. He sees all the positives and not the negatives. Dom worked very hard to make the sale happen. He was always available to answer all my questions and take my phone calls all hours, day or night.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosca Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosca and we'll be there.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Counseling. Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Jennifer, we're going to talk a little bit now. We've talked about sugar here in the first segment, and you have a really neat website, just so I can tell people that. I hope you don't mind me saying that.
No, of course not.
NourishNutritionCounseling.com. I've tried multiple of your recipes and cooked for my kids, and they all like them very much. I want to ask you about your Faith and Food newsletter and your website and just all the resources you have available for people at no charge.
Yeah, absolutely. So the newsletter is I think one of the most helpful resources, actually, just because I don't know about our listeners, but I don't have just, you know, hours to look through all the websites, right? So the newsletter is great. It's a short little letter that comes every Tuesday. I often have a theme. So actually starting next week for the whole month of September, our theme, which we've already been talking about today, is going to be sugar. So we're going to learn a little bit more about sugar in the newsletter. And then each week we're going to have a challenge, something based on trying to cut down on the sugar, maybe some newer recipes with different substitutions with a little less sugar, things like that. So that's a really great resource, especially if the conversation on sugar has perked up your ears. Now's a really good time to sign up for that. And you can get to it really easily on my website. There's a couple different places. On the home screen, you can click on the sign up for the newsletter, and there's also a tab at the top, or if you're on your mobile, on the side, where you can click on newsletter and you just enter your email and you get the newsletter every Tuesday. And it's one of those letters where anytime if you want to unsubscribe, you can, although I don't think anybody would want to. It's really useful. So
it is so really useful. Newsletter. And you have some Bible verses in, and you really are, you know, talking about things from a Christian perspective. In fact, I noticed that your gut health challenge number 4 is stressing the effect of stress, but that's exactly what it's doing. You're talking
emphasizing.
Yeah, you're emphasizing how stress and how people can get better sleep. And tell us a little bit about that article.
Yeah, so that was the last newsletter. We just finished up for the whole month of August, we did a gut health challenge. So, you know, people who are having issues with their digestive system, really, which that includes a whole bunch of different issues. But if you feel like, you know, it's not normal, then that is a great challenge. And I'll be doing that again here in a couple of months because that was really popular. So, but what we talked about was how it's not just the food that affects what's happening in our gut. It's a whole lot of other factors. And so sleep and stress were the two that we talked about in this last newsletter. And if you missed it, there's actually an article on my website about 10 tips for better sleep. So that's a great article. And we know that stress and sleep really affect how we digest our food and how our digestive system is working. And really the truth is, if we are feeling really stressed and we aren't sleeping enough, then our nutrition is going to suffer simply because we're not digesting and absorbing all of the nutrients that our bodies really need. So there's a huge connection there with all of our lifestyle habits and with our digestive system.
As you're talking, Jennifer, I'm thinking about a guest we had earlier in the week, Pastor Jesse Lusko. He's the pastor of the Westside Calvary Albuquerque campus. Jesse has been dealing with a lot of issues personally through his young life. And one of those is being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So he really has a heart for telling people, hey, God has something really special for you if you're experiencing depression and you have anxiety. But then he said, what a lot of people don't realize is some of us, especially much younger people, are staying up till all hours and they're not sleeping. So there's some physiological causes for that that just have something to do with sleeping. But I can't help but think as we're talking, maybe I always see a lot of folks like Jesse is very high energy. And I got to imagine that at one point in his life, he was probably eating a little too much sugar and doing things that, you know, may be harmful to his health. And I think now that he's under the care of a physician and that's been diagnosed, God's just doing amazing things with this young man. And when you listen to him talk about things from a biblical perspective, they're really a blessing. And I feel the same way about you, Jennifer, but I'm kind of trying, it's all tying together. These are all, nothing that happens in our bodies spiritually or physically or emotionally are independent of one another, are they?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think we should also say that I definitely think food has a huge role in every aspect of our health. But that being said, you know, especially with mental health conditions, you know, just changing your diet doesn't 100% always, you know, quote unquote, cure you. And so I definitely think it can be helpful in every situation, but I think we should definitely qualify that for sure. You know, there's a lot of other factors that go into that. But yes, I think that there are a lot of people who struggle with some of these health issues and mental issues that really could be helped if they would clean up their diet, exercise. We know that exercise, especially exercising outdoors, really helps boost the mood and helps to lower anxiety and stress. And so all of that is really, really important. And yes, I think that physical health, mental health, spiritual health, I think all of it is really, really tied together. So, and I do think that the Lord uses people who have been through some of these struggles themselves in a special way, if that makes sense. So I would say for, I don't know, probably 10 to 15 years of my life, I would have definitely considered myself a sugar addict. Mm. So it's one of those things where I think if you're coming from a place where you've experienced it, I think you have a special ability to help others in that way as well.
Well, and I appreciate your willingness to share your experience with us. I feel like as a dad, I have 5 children. They're all grown now. But I've gone through the gamut in terms of working with doctors with my kids throughout my children's young lives. And I don't remember any example of when a doctor talked to me about the diets for my children. Now, there's one exception to that. My 4th child is a type 1 diabetic. She was diagnosed when she was 4, extremely healthy, all kinds of great success. In fact, she's getting ready to go finish her master's degree, and she's involved in sports and does a lot of graphics actually for us here at the station. So she's been a great blessing. But what I bring up is only the endocrinologist was willing to talk to us about food. And you're a certified diabetic educator. Why isn't diet more common in the way medical doctors approach, especially pediatrics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think there's a lot of things that are playing a role into that. Number one, there are very few medical school curriculums that actually include nutrition. So, you know, doctors come out of medical school with mostly zero knowledge of nutrition, other than maybe what they learned on their own. There are some electives available at some of the medical schools, but it's really rare that is actually a part of medical education. And so I think that plays a role. I think that doctors are not 100% confident in their recommendations and what they're telling people. And they may have a couple of examples of patients that they've worked with, or maybe a particular diet has worked well for them. And so that's what they're recommending. But in general, they really just don't have the knowledge to tackle that now. And that's kind of a general statement. I think some doctors do go above and beyond, and they teach themselves more than others, you know, et cetera. But in general, that's what's happening. And then also, if you think about how much time you get to spend with your doctor, nutrition is a really complicated subject, and they just do not have the time to tackle that with most of their patients. And so, I mean, thankfully, that's why I have a job, right? That's that's what I do. That's what I do all day long. But I do think that I really wish that more doctors would spend a minute, and then if they feel like their patient needs more, that there would be more referrals to dietitians and to other diabetes educators and things like that, because we're really the ones that have the time and that have the knowledge and the expertise to really go over that with people.
Now, Jennifer, you have come up with food items, nutritional items that your children actually enjoy eating, that are healthy, that are avoiding sugars and some of the things we're talking about.
Yes. I will say, though, we do have the same struggles as everyone else. My kids love sugar. You know, if I tell them no about something, they roll their eyes at me and they don't always understand. So my kids are not necessarily, you know, perfect little examples of eating broccoli all the time. Although actually broccoli is one of their favorite vegetables. But so we do struggle with that too. But I think they're starting to learn that they feel better too when they don't eat all that sugar. And so I think that's helpful. And they know that, you know, if they've had something that day, they shouldn't be having more. And they know why I say no to things like that. But I will say that getting kids to like healthy foods is definitely a challenge. And if there's one word that I'm going to take from the Bible to describe getting your kids to like healthy foods, it would be perseverance. You just have to keep trying. You have to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. And so there's some research that says that it takes anywhere from 3 to 8 times for a child to try a food for them to like it. So, you know, most of us give up after 1 or 2. We make something and the kid says, I don't like that. And so we just don't make it again. But knowing that it takes at least 3 times, I think has been really helpful for us, because my kids are really starting to develop different tastes for different foods. And that includes a lot of healthy foods too.
Jennifer Bryant is a regular contributor to our program. She's been here since I've been working on the program, which was June of last year. So, Jennifer, you've spent a lot of time with us, and I really do appreciate that. We've talked today about sugar a little bit, talked about sugar and its effects on our health, and especially I've been emphasizing and asking you questions about kids, because I think a lot of people, grandparents are concerned for their grandchildren, parents are concerned for their children, and then we can point the fingers at ourselves and say, yeah, we've eaten a few too many of those peanut M&Ms. When you have a bag on the table and the thing's gone in about 30 seconds, that's probably not good. We got a lot more to talk to Jennifer about. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about her gut health challenge, which she's just finishing up here this week. But I want to go back and maybe review probiotics and her concept of eating intentionally. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
The Great Omission. That's what one author said the Great Mission has become. Obviously, not acceptable. At Star 88 and KNKT, we know this Great Mission job is one for the church. Each month, we put a spotlight on a global outpost for the gospel. This month, we're featuring Slave Velashinov, serving with Calvary Church Global Missions in Croatia.
Today, in our part of the world, people say Allah and Jesus and Jehovah, That's all the same, because this word God means God in all these three languages. It's not the meaning of the language, it is the substance. And there is a pure substance, Jesus and no one else.
In Croatia, that's Slave Vilasinov in our Great Mission Spotlight on Star 88 and KNKT. Fulfilling the command of Jesus is possible in our lifetime. To support this ministry, visit star88.fm or knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I love my job. Every single day I get to learn something new and talk with interesting people. Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, on the phone with us this afternoon. Jennifer, I have to think that your husband has got some M&Ms or something hidden in a drawer somewhere, and he's not going to let you see it because he knows you're going to get on his case. What do you think?
You know what? I have decided that it is not helpful to get on his case. So I really don't. If any of our listeners have a partner that they live with or family member who gets on their case, you know that it's more annoying than it is helpful usually. So I don't. I let him make his own decisions and thankfully he does a pretty good job actually. He grew up in a house where his mom did a great job of cooking well-balanced meals, lots of different kinds of vegetables, lots of different types of foods. And in fact, he was the one who introduced me to quite a lot of different kinds of foods. I grew up in Iowa. I'm kind of a meat and potatoes girl. Well, I'm not anymore. I should say I used to be. And so I had never even eaten seafood until I went to college. And that's where I met him, and his first goal was to get me to eat some different kinds of foods and try new things. So actually he's probably been a pretty good influence on me, at least most of the time.
Well, that's good news. And I want to play off of that and say, how do you get people to a point where they want to make changes in their lives?
Oh, that's such a great question. So definitely part of my job is being a motivator or being a cheerleader, right? I am blessed that most of the time people come to me with already a pretty good motivation to change. And then my job is really just to keep them going, right? And to keep them excited and to keep them making progress. So that's really helpful. There's a lot of ways that you can help people stay motivated, but one of them is definitely not telling them all the bad things that are going to happen if they don't do this. Fear is not a good motivator for most people. So really what it comes down to is I ask a lot of questions. And so, for the first 20 minutes of an appointment with a client, I'm really just asking questions. I'm trying to figure out where are they at? What are they struggling with? What have they already thought about that they want to change? And so I am almost never recommending something for the person to change. They almost always bring it up. And really all I have to do is listen, and I have to build on what they're already thinking about changing. Does that make sense? So it's funny, but in kind of a roundabout way, I really just get people to understand what their own motivation is and how they're going to get there. That's really what I do.
Mm. Well, and let's talk a little bit about how people get involved with having you counsel them and work with them.
Sure. So, it's pretty simple. Same way with the newsletter, just go to the website, nourishednutritioncounseling.com, and click on the contact button and send me a message. Send me a message with what are you looking for? What are you trying to accomplish? And then I'd like to do a short 15 to 20 minute sort of phone interview. I like to just make sure that first of all, that I can help the person that's interested in working with me. And then second of all, I just want to make sure that we're a good fit and that we're on the same page with goals and methods to get to those goals. And so that's really the first step. And then after that, the person would decide if they want to do, I do have a pay per visit option now, or I always have my 3-month commitment options, which You know, people save a little bit of money per visit, and then that way they have a 3-month commitment. I have a 3-month commitment to them. And so that gives us a really good amount of time to make some really good progress.
One of the things I like about the counseling and your services that you describe is that you're not, your counseling doesn't perpetuate more counseling. What you're doing is training people how to do what they've asked you to train them to do.
Yes. Yes. And in fact, that is my goal. I really love it when I call it graduating. I love it when I have a client that graduates. I just think that is such an accomplishment. You know, for them, like they have learned so much in the last 3 months. They're motivated. They're ready. They can do this on their own. They've learned a lot. And that's really just, that's one of the best days. It's the celebration day for, and you know, for some people that's, you know, that takes just a visit or two. And for other people, it takes a year or two, you know, so it really just, it depends on the person, but that's a great day when I can send somebody off and I'm confident that they're going to continue doing all of the things that we have talked about doing.
And earlier in the broadcast day, we started talking, well, we did talk about sugar, and you've got some more details coming up. You have a special event coming up Tuesday, September 1st in partnership with the YMCA, which you work with them closely. And we've had a couple people from the state come on the show that you recommended to us that also do some work with the YMCA. Tell us how people can get on that. Is it an online type of class?
Yes, it is. And so if somebody wants to join that class, that's the class all about sugar. And I have been doing online classes about once a month right now. So, you know, if somebody's interested in doing a class, but maybe sugar is not the one, definitely just send me a message through my website, or you can email Jennifer@nourishednutritioncounseling.com, and I'll get you on my email list. That way I can send you an email and let you know when classes are coming up. But it is, it's a class. I've been running my classes through Zoom, and what happens is people will just pay their $10 registration fee, and as soon as I receive the payment, I send them the Zoom link for the meeting. So it's pretty simple. I really haven't even had any technical difficulties with that so far. I should be knocking on wood about that, but it's been going pretty well, and people do really have a good time with these classes. You know, I think sometimes people think, oh, a nutrition class, that sounds so boring. But I do try to involve the participants. I try to make it fun, and then we walk away with just a couple of what seems like really simple changes that, you know, everybody can do. So, and I think that's really the goal of it all, right? Because nutrition education without a goal in mind at the end is really just, you know, you've got head knowledge, but you're not actually doing anything with it.
Sure. I want to highlight a couple things that I found off of your gut health challenge topics, weeks 1 through 3. Of course, week 4 was about stress and how stress can affect your sleep, how stress can affect your gut health. And you make some you give some scripture about how we can, you know, try to get rid of worry and those types of things. So you already mentioned that you're going to maybe do another gut health challenge, and maybe these topics will come up again down the road. But I want to review, if you'd allow me to, just a summary of a couple things that you covered in gut health. Week 1, you talked about probiotics. And I know what you mean by eat the rainbow, but can you explain that to our audience?
Yeah, sure. So probiotics are what we consider the live bacteria that are in foods or in supplements. And so you'll find those probiotics in like yogurts, kefir, kombucha, some of the natural made sauerkrauts and pickles, things like that. Those all use live bacteria for fermentation. Prebiotics are, we can think of them as the food that feeds those good live bacteria. And so, you know, to kind of put it in easy to understand terms, when we say prebiotics, we're really talking about fibers, the fiber in our diet. And so basically we're talking about fruits and vegetables and whole grains. And so in order to feed those good guys in your gut, you really want to try to increase your intake of your fruits and your vegetables and your whole grains. And then obviously it's helpful to also be eating a small amount of those live probiotics every day as well.
And I noticed on week one, you mentioned eating 7 to 9 cups of fresh fruits and vegetables. I don't have a perspective on what 7 to 9 cups looks like.
I when I mentioned that as a goal, I see so many funny faces. People just look at me like I am crazy. So, I mean, we all are a little bit crazy at times, but yeah, that's my goal. And that's my goal every day, 7 to 9 cups of fruits and vegetables. And so, you know, some days I get there, some days I get close, some days I don't really get there. But I'll give you an example. So let's say for breakfast, okay, this morning I had, I have a zucchini egg casserole recipe. It's actually on my website as well, but that's what I had for breakfast this morning. And so that gave me quite a good serving of vegetables, actually, probably a half a cup, maybe a cup before you cooked it. So there's one. Then I also had some strawberries. So that was 2 cups. Then for my snack in the morning, a lot of times I'll have some raw carrots or cucumbers or bell peppers, something like that. And so that's another cup. And then for lunch, I usually will have at least 1 or 2 cups of vegetables for lunch. If I have a salad, I might have 3. So now I'm up to 5 or 6. And then with dinner, if I have 2 to 3 cups, now I'm up to, 9 or 10. So I'm there, I'm there probably 90% of the time. I am not 100% for sure. And especially if we're traveling or something, I don't always get all of my vegetables or fruits. But
Jennifer, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, it sounds like a lot, but it's actually very doable if you break it up into breakfast, lunch, and dinner and a snack or two.
I was thinking visually for me, what would work is if I could compare 7 to 9 cups of vegetables to a bag of Lay's potato chips. I could get that concept.
Yeah, it's really those vegetables. They take up a lot of volume, right, on your plate because they're full of water. That's really why they have a lot of water content in them. And so, especially with lunch and dinner, I really try to make half of my plate vegetables. That's a really good kind of simple way to visualize what you're trying to do. So, and it doesn't have to be, a half a plate of broccoli or something. I really like to switch it up. I like to do different vegetables. I like to steam them. I like to roast them. I like to have salads. I like to have raw veggies. I really do it different ways so that I don't get bored of the same thing.
And Jennifer, I want to point out, and you and I have talked about this in past shows, that the way you recommend people to eat is actually not more expensive than what they're already doing. Let me give you an example. Having been an athlete at one time, I remember at one time literally spending $100, $150 a month on various supplements, including proteins and vitamins and all kinds of other things. And you kind of show us how you can get most of those nutrients in your food.
Mm-hmm.
And supplements sometimes when, maybe you're taking a medication that causes a deficit in one area or some other basic reasons for taking some supplements. But living on supplements and, heck, I have friends that take 16 or 20 supplements every day. Mm-hmm. They just have all these pills, and I don't personally like that.
I don't think anybody personally likes taking that many pills.
That is a lot.
I do think there are some good situations where a supplement is helpful, but I really, the name of the supplement really says it all. It should be a supplement to a good, nutritious diet. It should not be a replacement for a good, nutritious diet. So I use supplements. I use them. I recommend them, but I do not recommend a lot of them usually. I think they have a place, but again, I think food should be really the main thing. And I think a supplement should be just, a supplement.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, on the phone with us this afternoon, actually on Skype with us. Sounds a lot better than the phone. If you'd like to talk with Jennifer, give her a call at 338-5790 here on the program. We don't normally have a lot of callers, but sometimes I get some people emailing me. You can also email me at jim@abqconnect.online. When we come back, I'm going to ask Jennifer about what she means by eat intentionally. We'll be right back.
Radical Democrats in New Mexico have allowed abortion clinics to operate with no major restrictions. No waiting periods, no parental involvement, no limits on publicly funded abortions. HB 51 was dubbed one of the most extreme abortion bills in the nation, granting up-to-birth abortions in the state. Democrats in the legislature have blocked all restrictions on late-term abortions. The right to life is something that we must cherish and fight for. If not us, then who will speak for the unborn? Joe Biden is looking at our broken system as a perfect model for the rest of the country, and it's time for us to fight back. We must send a message to Joe Biden that infanticide and procedures that kill babies must come to an end in New Mexico. The corruption, out-of-state money, and disregard for precious human life end with this election. A vote for President Trump is a vote to dismantle this brutal system and defend life at all stages in New Mexico.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Inc.
New Mexico, we love it, but it's no secret our state is left behind in some very vital social issues. Child hunger, single parents, and abortion, to name a few. The people of God can and must take action. That's what Mission New Mexico is all about at KNKT and Star 88, this month featuring the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Here's their executive director, Stephanie Liu.
We do share Christ with our clients. We let them know their value, and if they don't know their value, they're not going to value that little life inside of them.
That's Stephanie Liu from the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque, this month's Mission New Mexico. Loving our neighbors in practical and productive ways is Christianity 101. At KNKT and Star 88, we are a megaphone for New Mexico needs as we provide a clear call to action. Find out more about supporting the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque by clicking the Mission New Mexico link at KNKT.com or star88.fm.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, on the phone with us this afternoon. Jennifer, what do you mean when you instruct us to eat intentionally?
Oh, this is one of my favorite topics. I really love it. I think that a lot of our American habits are, we don't do this. And so we've developed these sort of mindless eating activities. And, you know, a perfect example is like when you sit on the couch and you're watching TV and you're just eating those snacks, you know, you don't even realize what you're eating, right? You don't even, you'd have no concept of how much you've eaten, and you really have a very limited amount of satisfaction from what you're eating when you're not really thinking about it. And so intentional eating is basically eating with a purpose. So your purpose is to actually nourish your body, hopefully at least somewhat. Every once in a while, your purpose can be to eat for pleasure. That's okay, I think, some of the time. I don't think that should be the focus all the time, but I think some of the time that's perfectly fine. And so I think we eat with purpose, and then when we're eating, we actually are paying attention to what we're eating. So when I started my career as a dietitian, it was, I don't even know how long ago now, maybe 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer now, actually. And I got a job with an endocrinology clinic here in Albuquerque, and I loved it. It was a great job. And I remember my training, I had to sit through a bunch of the classes. And one of the classes was, they called it mindful eating. There's a lot of really similar parallels between mindful eating and intentional eating. They're really similar in a lot of ways. But I remember sitting in this class, and I was sitting there, and we were going to do a mindful eating exercise. And the instructor had brought some raisins. And so each person in the class got one single raisin. And so we were to sit there, and we were to journal about this raisin. So we were supposed to look at it and write about what it looked like. And then we were supposed to put it in our mouth, and we were supposed to write about how it tasted initially before we even chewed it, how it felt on our tongue. And then we were supposed to start chewing it slowly, and we're supposed to write about every single step along the way, right? And I remember getting out of that class and I thought to myself, I never realized how deliciously sweet raisins are. It was one raisin and it just blew my mind, because how often do you really think about the raisin when you eat the raisin, you know? So I just realized what an important point this is in, you know, paying attention to our food. We just do not pay attention. You know, we eat while we're driving, we eat while we're working, we eat while we're watching TV, we eat while we're on our phones, we eat with all these other distractions around us. And we know that that really decreases the satisfaction of the food that we're eating. And so that leaves us feeling unsatisfied, and we feel like we need more, and we don't really, but we're eating so mindlessly that we have this sensation that we think we need more, but we really don't.
How do you apply some spiritual concepts to eating intentionally? Like, I know you talk about eating with your family frequently at the table. You talk about praying before meals. Does it all fit into the eat intentionally concept?
Yeah, absolutely. And so a couple of the major things with eating intentionally, really the first one is to pray before you eat and to thank God for your food. You know, I think that's kind of a lost art. I think a lot of us do maybe pray for our food, but we don't really, I mean, are we really thankful for it though? You know, I mean, I think about that sometimes, and food is just so abundant in our culture. And yes, there are a lot of people who struggle with having the next meal and whatnot. But I think we kind of take our food for granted. We don't think about it, and we don't thank God enough like we should. So that's definitely a big part of it. And if you look through the Bible, there are so many passages where the center of fellowship is food, right? So food is one of these things. I do not think that it was a mistake that God made us to need to eat multiple times a day. I think that was very intentional on his part. And I think that that gives us multiple opportunities all day long to have fellowship with other people, maybe less so right now because of all the, you know, the coronavirus and all of this going on. But now we just transfer it to our families, you know, and we take time to sit with our families and really enjoy that fellowship. I think that's really important as well. And then also, you know, I mentioned this at the beginning, but eating intentionally, I think, really involves eating with the intention to nourish your body, to give your body something that it needs. I think that's a really important concept that we forget about as well.
Do you have a favorite food, Jennifer, that you like?
Oh, that's a good question. I love food. I love all food. I consider myself a foodie. I love trying new recipes. I would say in general, I am very much an Italian girl at heart. Mm-hmm. I just love pastas and I love pizza, like not the Domino's kind of pizza necessarily, but like the really good, like gourmet pizza. Mm. I love pizza.
Yeah.
So
in fact, those
would probably be my favorite too.
I just tried down at Village Pizza in Corrales. They have the ideal pizza for anybody that is a celiac. It is a cauliflower crust. It's a kind of a personal size, and you can obviously put any ingredient on it that you want that doesn't contain wheat, and you're going to have, it's just delicious. And Jennifer, that leads me into asking you about, you know, disorders that people have, like celiac, where they're allergic, to grains and those types of things. And of course, type 1 and type 2 diabetics. Do you work with people that have these conditions?
Yeah, actually, that's probably the majority of the people that I work with are people who really have some specialized nutrition needs. But that list is, you know, goes on and on. So diabetics for sure, celiac disease for sure. I work with a lot of other digestive issues. So like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, all of those digestive issues I'm very familiar with. I also work with a lot of autoimmune. So even just like rheumatoid arthritis, what a terrible disease to be living with, and it causes so much pain. And there's a lot of those symptoms that you can really moderate by changing your diet. So that's a really, that's one that I've gotten into a lot more of this last year. Some of the other autoimmune diseases like Hashimoto's, thyroid disease, or Graves' disease, there's a lot of these autoimmune diseases that can be somewhat controlled with diet. And so I have a lot of passion for working with those people.
Yeah. Jennifer, this is not a question that's really to do with nutrition, but I think more about the family eating together. And the email I received says, how do you feel about cell phones at the table?
Oh, that's a great question. I think, you know, in general, I think it's not a good idea to have your cell phones at the table. I think it really goes against all the concepts of intentional eating, right? Because you're distracted. And also if you're using your meal as a time of fellowship, you know, with your family or with a couple of friends or whatever you're doing, then obviously it's not a good idea to have that cell phone as a distraction. So in general, at our house, we have a no cell phones at the table rule. And you know, I think our cell phones are, I don't know about other people, but if I'm checking mine too often, it definitely causes me some unneeded stress and anxiety. So really what I've tried to do actually is have, you know, kind of some set times during the day where I do like a social media check or something like that, or an email check. And I try not to be letting it, you know, consume my day. So I think that's in general a good strategy. And no cell phones at the table is a really good rule.
Do you kind of shut down the business stuff at a certain time during the day and just concentrate on the family?
I do. I definitely do. And actually, I teach a Bible study at Desert Springs Church as well. And so that's on Wednesdays. And so I try not to work too much on Wednesdays as well. So I'll maybe check my email once or twice, but I'm usually not scheduling clients on Wednesdays. I leave that day for Bible study and hopefully some fellowship opportunities with some of my ladies that are in my group. And then usually by about 4:30, I'm done working. Every once in a while, I'll take a client that needs to be seen in the evening, but I really try to keep the evenings family time. You know, my kids are little and I realize that they still really need me a lot, you know, and life is just, it's better when it's balanced.
Absolutely. Jennifer, do you see any gender-specific eating kind of concerns? I know that there are apparently more women with eating disorders like anorexia and those than men, but I understand that that's becoming more common with men.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always changing for sure. I do tend to see a little bit more, you know, going back to the sugar conversation, I do tend to see a little bit more of the sugar addiction with females. I think that has something to do with our hormone fluctuations as well, which men don't have. So, there's lots of ways to actually, you know, calm that down a little bit. But that's definitely something I see a little bit more in women. There's, you know, I would say like heart disease, you know, high cholesterol, things like that. That's a little bit more common in men typically. So there's definitely some trends depending on gender, but you know, all in all, we're all people. We all, you know, we all like to kind of think about nutrition. Some of us like to talk about nutrition. I like to talk about nutrition more than most. But when it comes down to changing habits with nutrition, that's really hard. So I think we all have sort of a pushback when it comes to changing some of those habits.
Jennifer, last question, and that is, even though we're talking about a lot of serious things, and some of these are conditions, serious conditions that can be helped by diet, you always have fun with food, don't you?
I do. I'm kind of one of those people. I'm a glass half full kind of person. Like, I always see the positive in every situation. I always feel like I can help somebody with some sort of little, you know, nugget or something. And that's really, I think that's why I love what I do, because I really see the positive in every single person. I really see potential in every single person that I work with. So And I love that. I love being the encourager. I love being the cheerleader. That's really my favorite part of my job. So,
what are some things that we need to cover in future shows together? We need to talk about how to cook healthy on a barbecue. That would be one I want to cover with you.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. I often love to talk about healthy eating on a budget. That's a really good conversation.
Thank you, Jennifer, for joining us on ABQ Connect. We'll see you soon.
Presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.